He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to Friday morning, everyone. This is the March 19th edition of the Best Stocks Now Hour. I am Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management, giving Bill a well-earned day off from the show today. Hopefully getting a jump start on the newsletter, a lot of stuff going into that lately. So, also joining us this morning, as usual, we have our bond portfolio manager. Good to have him on to talk about some yields today. And investment advisor here at the firm, Paul Carlson. How are you doing this morning, Carl?
I'm well, Barry. How are you?
Great. Doing great, Paul.
Good.
Well, happy quadruple witching day to you.
Yeah, that's a term that goes way back to the 80s, really. I mean, it changed a little bit at one point in the 90s, I think, is when they started doing the settlement in the morning rather than in the close. So it's not quite the way it used to be, but that's what I learned from the trading floor.
Yeah, that's what I figured you would get a kick out of that. That's yeah. It always kind of makes me laugh because, you know, it's something you can always kind of throw out there and sound very financially sophisticated. So yeah. I kind of challenge each of you listening out there to try to work that into a conversation today. You know, see what the reaction is. I'm guessing someone's going to probably go right over it because they're going to be out of their league. So
it was the SPX on the SIBO where I worked. Settlements in the morning now, and used to be in at the close. So that's it's not really triple witching.
Yeah, and it used to be a pretty big day for volatility normally, especially back
right.
then.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And for those who don't know, and I kind of always have to, when I see the term, I always have to kind of reread it as well. But definition wise, that's when you have derivatives on the stock index futures, also mm-hmm. stock index yep. options, also individual stock options, and
right.
single stock futures expire all simultaneously.
Futures, so, yep, exactly.
Yep. So essentially everything's turning over today, kind of like, a lot like our portfolios over the last month, right?
There you go. Yeah,
but
for sure.
Yeah, well,
in a good way.
More importantly, March Madness officially or unofficially, the beginning of March Madness is today with the NCAA tournament coming back online after a year hiatus that, of course, we're all familiar with and been affected by. But you got I think you have till about 12:15 p.m. today Eastern time to get your brackets in. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if you have a team in the hunt, Paul, but I'm hoping my FSU Seminoles can survive in advance at least for a bit.
Seminoles, yeah, Florida. There you go.
Yep. So, as of course, that's another kind of indication of the economic recovery, and we'll kind of dive into that a little bit later into the show, kind of take our weekly barometer of that. But
mm-hmm.
before we get started, Paul, you want to give us kind of an update on certainly Treasury yields will be in there, but give us an update on the markets worldwide and how we're looking at home to start.
Yeah, so the 10-year Treasury, we're at 1.718%. I had a little bounce over the course of the evening and into the morning here with the sell-off in the equities. We have the S&P down 0.75% at 3,887. The Dow is down almost a full percent, 1%, 32,559. NASDAQ down 0.5%, 13,053. Small cap Russell 2000 down 0.25%, 2,261. Crude oil down 1.25%. That's a big drop, 59.25 a barrel.
Rough day yesterday. We'll cover that in a bit.
Gold's kind of unchanged as well as silver. Gold's down $1.60 the ounce, $17.34. Silver at $26.11. And you want the global markets as well, right?
Well, looks like even we'll get into those. Looks like even digital gold, Bitcoin's actually.
Oh, the Bitcoin.
Today,
yeah.
Flat today, which is only a 27 basis point move. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe they're
usually it's the other way, right?
Maybe Bitcoin's
moving
the,
and the other
took
markets
the day
are.
Off. Yeah, I mean, they're besides gold, they're the they have the least movement of the day so far in terms of what's in front of me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and I know. You know, yesterday was kind of a bit of a rough day for global markets too, just because you know the U.S. bond yield rising obviously affects asset prices around the globe, and so you know I think Japan. You know, what Japan finished down about 1.4%,
about 1.5%.
Yeah.
Hong Kong the same, right? And then China was up about 1.5%. That was also down, wasn't it?
Yeah, down 1.69. Yeah, I saw Japan and Hong Kong are both down 1.41%, and I was thinking it was a typo there, but yeah, they actually finished the same down. Europe, you know, pretty much they pretty much look at least the last time I looked, they looked down across the board. Good news for them. I think they got the vaccine.
The market looks like India, maybe.
Yeah. India is looking about the only positive world market that I see there for today. But you know, it's as we kind of continue through this transition. Like I said, rising yields here. You know, those are going to trickle across the globe. Sometimes, and we're going into some of the reasons why maybe the yields won't rise as much. It's once they hit a certain level, and that's because things happening in Japan obviously affect us here, vice versa. You know, with the world intertwined now, there's a lot of you and I going through some of the factors affecting rates and inflation, and I think we probably came up with more factors than anything, right?
There's many of them. Yes.
Many, and which ones are having the most effect at a particular time, or I guess, or what we've got to figure out. So, Bill's
but
been
it's
doing.
Not,
great.
It's not the situation of the 70s. I don't think. Anyway.
No. Yeah, and I think a lot of this, some of this inflation, is going to be somewhat near term, happening in the near term, and hopefully we'll kind of shake out over time too. But yeah, I mean, in terms of the market, right, lots of transition. Of course, Bill's been, harping on that for almost a month now in terms of the rotation. Of course, our portfolios and portfolio movements have reflected that across
kind
the board.
Kind of nailing it, really, to be fair.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of these names. I think Bill made me laugh earlier this week, but. In terms of the stinky stocks, right? They're not the they're not the most environmentally friendly. They're not the prettiest, not the greatest, fun, best things to interesting
the high
things to write about, right?
Yeah.
So they're not the sexy names, but kind of the places really to be in the market right now. And primarily, it's a better risk return trade off, right? These companies that are growing, take CrowdStrike, which is one that that I like in terms of the in terms of cybersecurity and data center security, something you're going to need going forward. But where we're at in the market, you're just essentially paying too much for those future earnings, and that's kind of this repricing. Yeah. You have much more earnings.
As Bill says, you miss with the canned slim method, you miss the V. Where's the value in that equation, right?
So. Yep, exactly. And it doesn't mean these companies aren't going to be great going, down the road. It's just, in terms of opportunity cost, right?
Why, they may be overpriced, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like sitting in the slow lane, on the way to work and not switching lanes, kind of switching lanes at this point, right, is what we're switching over to these value names, and the growth that we're looking and the return we're looking to get there is actually, you're not quite taking as much risk, right, to get there. So from a risk-return trade-off, it just kind of makes mathematical and portfolio sense to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So we've
I would agree.
And we're continuing, obviously seeing that through higher commodity prices. I did see somewhere in China's cracking down on pollution, so some iron ore actually was taking a hit in terms of their price because of, I mean, you remember in the, mid-2000s, 2010s where, China was buying up essentially every commodity out there.
Yes,
at the time.
Right, exactly.
So that's...
But like I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, Barry, they have more electric buses than any other country. And so, yeah, pollution is definitely on the forefront of their thinking over in China.
Yeah, that percentage you gave me on the number of buses that they had was amazing.
Yeah, and then the Tesla, they're banning, or from the military, I guess, because of the cameras. So that's not about pollution, but
yeah, it's
technology,
more of a,
right?
Yeah, so, almost kind of a spying technique, which is interesting. So, we've got a had a lot of good earnings, big companies yesterday. We're going to get into some insights in terms of gauging the recovery, but stick with us. We'll be back with more Best Stocks Now. To the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with your hosts Barry Kite and Paul Carlson sitting in for our captain Bill Gunderson today.
Hey, Barry.
Well, yep. Markets are,
a little bit lower today.
Yep. And, I know kind of right before we came on, the big news was from the Fed removing the SLR.
It's the ratios, so capital ratios with treasuries.
And they were giving, banks were benefiting from that. It was allowing them not to keep as much capital. And that's, it was scheduled to expire at the end of March anyway. They just confirmed that it was going to expire. So to me, I kind of look at it as that's probably a good thing, right, that they feel comfortable enough to let it expire. But on the other side of that,
Bill has been saying, you have the spread widening, so that should be benefiting the financials.
Exactly.
That's how they make their money, right?
Yeah.
You lend short, or you borrow short and lend long, right?
So. Yeah, I'm thinking the money was going to be even easier if they could have kept that going, I guess, for a little bit.
Well, of course.
So right. As that curve steepens, yield curve steepens. You're going to, banks are going to benefit from that in terms of, borrowing short term, right, and lending long term. So, the short term being from the Fed. So in terms of kind of your financials kind of taking a hit, and that's why you're seeing more of a, a broad market kind of sell off. I mean, NASDAQ's up, I think about 10 basis points. It is in the green, but, we've had mostly a mixed bag lately, and today they're at least. Kind of looks like they're staying more in the more in line in terms of the Dow, S&P and NASDAQ. Primarily, I think it's because of the softness there in the financials. That piece is obviously kind of ties into the big news is essentially the Treasury yields have been leading the market, right? Whatever driving the market in terms of what's going on in the world. Why we've seen kind of the drawdown from NASDAQ stocks as we've seen, right? And most of that has to do with, a lot of NASDAQ or tech companies, right, high growers, certainly your high P ratio companies.
Yeah, kind of the term would be multiple compression, right?
Right, yep. And two pieces of that. One is, PEs have came in. The other thing there is you've got in terms of your discount rate. So, a lot of tech companies, right, their growth or their revenues and profits are going to be further out into the future. So when you're doing a valuation equation, right, you've got to bring those future cash flows right back to, present day in order to come up with a present value. And so
this kind of cash flow. Yeah.
Right. And so as interest rates go up, right, that future cash flow is worth less. And so
correct.
That's where, so part of it, I think, is, P compression coming in. That, to me, that's the move from, right, growth to value. but then also just a valuation, right, of these names in terms of what their future cash flows could be, right? That's also being discounted at the same time. So, you know, to me, it's kind of, you know, it's almost kind of a double-edged sword. You know, the rotation is partly because of the recovery, is because of the recovery. And then in terms of interest rates rising, you know, that's part of the recovery too, right? That's based on, you know, primarily based on optimism. Some is based on certainly inflation. You can almost, your optimist on growth and optimist on inflation could actually sit in the same camp as well, right?
Yeah, for sure. You know, if you think about it, the only way, you know, to maintain those high PEs is with that discounted cash flow, like you outlined, they'd have to be raising their earnings estimates, right? I mean, that's the only other way that they could maintain the value of that share price, right?
Exactly, right. And so, so what are those, you know, what do those earnings look like? You know, of course, you know, we still could have good forward earnings, right? But if we're discounting them at a higher rate coming back, well, then, you know,
they're going to have to keep increasing them just to stay still.
To stay even. Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's, you know, so that's kind of that, you know, Bill kind of talks about that, you know, you hear that push-pull in the market, right? And that's kind of, you know, that's kind of what's going on. Because, you know, I look in terms of economic news, you know, and to me, things are looking, you know, much better, and we'll hit some good stories in the third segment that actually, you know, highlight, you know, some of that recovery that we're seeing, and actually in, you know, some publicly traded companies. But you know, you've almost got, you know, two dichotomies, right? It's like we were talking about in terms of, you know, good news being bad news for the market. You know, in reality, you know, kind of this economic recovery, while good for, you know, essentially good for part of the market, right, the value side, you know, that growth actually, you know, it surprisingly enough, is going to be, you know, somewhat of a headwind for some of those tech companies, at least from a valuation standpoint. So,
and as Bill has said, you know, this is not the market it was, you know, even a few months ago. It's definitely a sea change.
Well, right, and to me, it's not even, you know, and a lot of times we get clients and folks get the impression in terms of, you know, you don't like a certain stock, right? Well, it's not that you don't like the company, right? You just don't like the stock.
You just don't get married to it.
Yeah,
right?
You don't like the equity, right? You know, it's, you know, you take like a Liotto, right? Do I think there'll be a, you know, decent, you know, good company long term? You know, I think so. You know, but, you know, currently, right, I think there's probably a better risk return trade-off to have your funds in. So it's more of it's more opportunity cost than anything, right?
Like maybe Alcoa, or like I think Bill talked about yesterday.
Right. You know, I've got, you know, clients who, you know, manage some of their own money, but, you know, in terms of, you know, oil companies, right, you know, they've, you know, had clients going into that on their own. You know, not necessarily somewhere we'd be for you know, necessarily, but at the same time, you know, those are, you know, I mean, that's the risk return trade off there is almost, you know, just seems to be, you know, kind of tough to pass up to a certain extent, right?
Right, exactly.
So, those are kind of the things that I think are really, you know, which makes this kind of a confusing time, right? It makes,
makes the market.
Yeah.
You got a buyer and a seller, so there you go. Yeah.
Right, and it makes the case more for, you know, unconstrained management, professional management from the standpoint of, you know, there's just a lot of moving parts, you know, a lot of things going on in the market at the same time, and there's a lot of different information, because you could almost make, you know, two good arguments on either side at this point, right, which, you know, in that sense makes it even tougher, certainly, you know, trying to weed out some of the noise out there as well.
Absolutely. I mean, I think what between the three of us, we have about 80 years experience in the industry. And so that's, you know, there's a lot of value there. So give us a call, 855-611-BEST or GundersonCapital.com.
Yeah.
Check us out. Take the newsletter. Yeah.
Just a lot of, a lot of uncertainty out there, and I think doing your homework, you know, pays to do it in this market. So, but we've got Bill doing some homework today on the newsletter. I know that much. But we'll when we come back, talk about the recovery, and get some good news, good stories out there. So head back, and we'll give you some optimism before going into the weekend. And welcome back here to the second half of Best Stocks Now Hour with your hosts Barry Kite and Paul Carlson. And I guess this segment will be about everyone getting back together, right?
Let's go.
Let's do it. For those of you keeping track at home, my parents actually had their first round of shots yesterday. So down in South Florida. So that's vaccines keep making it through the population. I've had a number of clients tell me in the last couple of weeks that they've had either their first or second round. So and kind of segues into AstraZeneca. I think Bill hit it yesterday, a couple of days ago, in terms of the vaccine rollout. Obviously, has been not great in Europe in terms of comparatively. UK has been good, and just mainland Europe. But from
hard to do something like this in 1 year, really. I mean, you think about it globally.
Really is, and of course, and certainly if you're doing it as a collection of countries, we have enough trouble doing it as a collection of states, right? And they're a collection of different countries, different language speaking, all kind of lots of different factors there. So good news is the shot's back in use in Europe after the EMA decision. In terms of safe and effective,
the blood clots.
Yeah, in some of that blood, I was reading some information about it, and some of the, it's almost like they almost didn't even find the blood clot problems. It was almost just self-reported.
It's probably no more than the general population, right?
Right, and it was self-reported across across Europe and the different regions in which they were having the issue. So.
I saw that we're shipping AstraZeneca to Canada and Mexico now.
Yep,
millions
that's right.
Of doses.
Yeah,
yep.
It looks like 4 million. It's kind of looks like it's kind of a loan, right? And so we'll pass that along to our borders, and then it'll come back to us at some point. But I think that's a good idea in terms of whether you've got travel, intercontinental travel, right, or just within North America. Right. And whether a lot of Mexican citizens coming here, the main thing is, we've got, I know a lot of folks who have traveled, to Mexico during the pandemic. So, it's not just it's us going there and then coming back, right? I think, humanitarian-wise, it just makes sense all around.
Of course.
On the heels of that, Indonesia also resumed the use of AstraZeneca's vaccine as well. So, lots of huge population in Indonesia. Very, I think it's one of the densest populations in the world as well. And a lot of a lot of your textile, a lot of your manufacturing that used to be in China has gone gone to Indonesia and other places. So.
Vietnam exactly.
Right. So, in terms of, some of these supply issues that we've been reading about, right, you've got to have.
And we tie it to inflation. Yeah.
Right. And you've got to have. Yeah. So you need, we need to get, using them here is good, right? But, around the, in terms of global trade, right, it's going to be important, for that to
for
be a worldwide effort. I did see a number of more mortgages in forbearance has now dipped below 2.6 million, and that's the lowest since early April. So essentially, when the pandemic started, first time I think it's the first time the numbers fell below 2.6 million since April 2020. That's about roughly right at 4.9% of all home mortgages. So. If you think about, I kind of go back to 08-09, much different situation, but I think almost any, I'm pretty sure, I don't know what the numbers were, but I'm pretty sure any of those mortgage lenders would have taken 5% haircut on a lot of those. So you look at it relatively, we're in a much better position, I believe, coming out of this than where we were coming out of 08-09. So that gives me. That's kind of another, optimistic for the recovery. Doesn't mean that's going to translate into, the full equity markets.
Right? And I think Bill mentioned yesterday even, stocks are pricing a year, 2 years out. So we've already done this, right? I mean, we already priced where we're at. So
exactly.
That's how the market got to these levels, right? Is knowing kind of where we're going to get to in terms of recovery. Right?
Yeah, yeah. The trick is how high will asset prices go, and how far out will we look at the income, right? I mean, I guess that's
right.
And like you said, looking, valuing it out, 2 years of earnings already, right? That's it could depend on the market. It's a little bit premature. And the recovery's been broad. So looking at airline stocks.
Yeah.
So airline stocks, they're at a high, looks like travel restrictions, administration's looking at, essentially middle of May to reduce, a number of restrictions. We're going to have some cross-border travel with U.S., Canada, Mexico, like we said, but also some travel from Europe, U.K., and Brazil that they're looking at. So airlines have done very well in terms of being essentially they're a poster child for the recovery, right?
Kind of coming back, yeah.
Yeah, in terms of getting people moving around, people confident and in the vaccines or in terms of their health, right? And that's that's jumping. I did see where AMC has looks like 98% of their locations should be open today or tomorrow. So I would imagine it's today. Usually, I don't know how they do movies releases anymore. Remember, it used to be Friday was the big.
Now they do it streaming, right?
Yeah.
Are they going to continue that?
Some of those. So that's kind of the trick going back and forth. I think you're going to have some push-pull between the creatives,
mm-hmm.
right, the directors and people in the industry wanting or, making movies for the big screen or some of the talk that I've seen. So, I think contractually it's going to change. So, if you have, a big director – who's going to want their, movie specifically at the movie theater, at least for a certain, certain time, kind of the old model, then it's going to be probably more driven. My guess would be more driven from the director standpoint than the studio standpoint, on a go forward basis. But interesting,
mm-hmm.
Great. They're, like I said, even in California, 52 of their 54 locations will be open, I guess, by the beginning of next week.
Wow.
So, yeah,
okay.
Interesting story there. One of the things that I've missed personally, had a few canceled over the time is live music, live concerts,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Live Nation jumped yesterday. I think it looks like New York is going to allow concerts in some form of fashion. I don't know if they're going to be packing out Madison Square Garden anytime soon, but April 1st. Is the date set for that? So, to me, all the the growth expectations. I saw some GDP expectations. I think jumped a percent. I think it was going to be around 5.8 or something. Was a recent forecast change that we've seen. So there's to me, it's there's a lot of good
for
news
the first
out
quarter.
There. Right. Yeah. And I think and a lot of good. I think there's just a ton of good news out there in terms of. Getting back, at least from the growth side of it, right? From the, from the economic growth side,
I'm thinking here, we always have to mention EVs, right? So the Volkswagen story from yesterday.
Yeah. That's
kind of ridiculous.
That one's kind of more of I kind of got a GameStop feel or something to it, didn't it?
Didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah,
was up, 35%?
Yeah, for an automaker, it was up, regulators started taking a look at it to make sure, that there wasn't any, no different, like I said, no different than the GameStop. The only difference was is it's on, on the European exchange, right? And is it on the DAX? Yeah, it's on the DAX.
Yeah, I think it's German.
It passed SAP, which is I don't know how long SAP's been the largest company in Germany, but they actually passed market value wise, yesterday in terms of
SAP is 145 billion and Volkswagen. So I can get that up. I think it's about. So now it's down.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and yesterday it was above $160 billion. Yeah, it was over $160 billion yesterday at one point.
Now it's down 9% today, so it's at $32.90.
Yeah, and that, you know, that whole space, you know, that whole space is that's a perfect, you know, view of what competition, right, has done. And, you know, that whole EV space is just getting more crowded and crowded by the day. But we kind of busted through the first three fourths of the show pretty quickly. We'll be back here for the fourth segment, Stock of the Day. Be a recovery name as well that I think everybody will get a kick out of. So stay with us.
You gotta go where you wanna go and do what you wanna do.
Welcome back here to the fourth and final quarter of the Best Stocks Now Hour. I am Barry Kite here, and we have our bond portfolio guru, Paul Carlson, on the line.
Yes, I am.
All right.
How's
it
going?
I've got to get that in there.
Because, the guru.
Yeah, with treasury yields taking all the headlines lately. We've got to let you get in there on the bond side.
Well, I would add this. Bill talks about the bond funds are the worst place to be. We're not a bond fund, okay? First of all, we have individual corporate bonds that you can hold to maturity, as he says. And also, we're unconstrained. So we have a hedge in place now. We've had it for a while. It's SJB, and, you know, it moves inverse to the high yield index. So it's just a little bit of insurance or a little bit of a hedge. That's what we do.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I know I joke. You know, a lot of times we don't think about it because it's not it's just not as sexy to talk about. But you know, the bond, right. Bond market is much much larger than the equity market by far, and so yeah. There's a lot of times when we're talking about mutual fund flows, right, or just fund flows in general, right. Usually, when things are moving out of fixed income, a very big market, right, and moving into stocks, well, that's when, that's obviously, what you've seen kind of over this very low rate period, certainly coming out of the crisis, pandemic.
08,
so.
09?
Yeah,
so that's, what, 12 years, basically?
Yeah,
12?
That as well,
yeah.
Right. basically, having low rates forces, fixed income money or bond money, right, over to, or cash even, right, over
seek
to
a return, yeah,
to equities. So that's the and usually, right, your inflation, right, that's if you're holding strictly cash, well, your worry is getting eaten up by inflation. But equities, right, are also are one of the first lines of defense for inflation, right? Certainly they're valuable.
Yeah, this is, inflation's an interesting term, right? So you can inflate the quantity of money, right? But it doesn't necessarily translate to inflating prices. It could, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it could, and ideally, right, in a perfect world, it should, but if the money doesn't move around, right? If,
right, that's velocity, right?
So yeah.
And there's different measures, right? You have M1, M2, MZM. MZM is really what everyone uses now, right?
Like
the quantity of money, the money stuff.
And you can put as much money as you want.
And then the velocity, if it's not moving around, change anything.
Yeah, if it doesn't enter the actual market, right, then it doesn't matter,
right.
In terms of we could print who knows how much money, put it in Fort Knox and it never moves anywhere.
Print $100 trillion, put it in Fort Knox. Well, nothing's changed because it's sitting in Fort Knox, right?
So. Right. The money's got to move around from velocity standpoint, which is usually
right.
Why during this time, right, banks are usually in a good position to benefit because they're able to borrow that money at a low short term rate and lend it out at usually a higher spread or a higher rate. So that's kind of the mortgage is a perfect example. So, but one of the unique things I think is recently is certainly in terms of our Best Stocks Now philosophy is blending value and momentum. For a long time, for at least a good year and frankly before, even most of 2019, right? It was a growth game. And and momentum really kind of won out in that value momentum kind of push pull. You could be in a value stock. Me and you could all, you know, we could all get in a room and know, say, hey, this stock's $50. It should be $100. Our analysis could be perfect, but if no one else, if the market doesn't recognize that and it isn't creating momentum for the stock, well, you know, it essentially could be a value trap, right? And so Bernstein actually came out with a good report today talking about value and momentum and kind of how they've, you know, kind of come together, right? They used to almost be on opposite ends of the spectrum. And, you know, now they're together. And that's kind of what, you know, our philosophy, both philosophy in terms of, you know, Best Stocks Now app, blending those two. That's why some of these names that you're seeing in the portfolio are starting to, pop out, right, in terms of, in perfect example is today is our stock of the day is going to be Camping World Holdings. CWH is the symbol. I think when it's ranked in the app, looks, I had it up just a second ago. I think it was 21.
I think I have it here. Let me see.
Yep, 21 out of 5,639. The interesting thing is 2 months ago, right, it was 1,836. 1 month ago, it was at 100. So, so in terms of, you know, that's how quick kind of that rotation has taken place, right? From a Camping World, you know, that's going to be a perfect reopening play. RVs have gotten a lot of attention during the pandemic, obviously. And, you know, that whole, just like I read something about Petco.
Well, look at the PEG ratio. It's not even, it's like 0.48. It's not even close to one.
Yeah, and I mean,
that's
forward,
our threshold, right?
Forward PE is 8.37. So, I mean, you know, trade that in for, you know.
And there's a dividend.
Yeah, I mean, it's a.
I think we put it in the dividend and growth portfolio and also Premier Growth, I want to say.
Yep, and it's actually one of these. It's an interesting stock because it's got about 15% short interest. So, you know, it's also one of those plays where you could end up seeing, you know, kind of a bit of a short squeeze in our favor.
Like a GameStop scenario? Well, hopefully not. But
yeah. No, you know, but, you know, yeah, a real short squeeze, you know, in terms of because the stock's doing better, not because, you know, we're getting it somewhat artificially run up, if you will, putting it kindly there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, stock-wise, like you said, you hit kind of on the main metrics, 0.48 PEG ratio. I mean, anything under one, right, is great. Certainly, you know,
a 5-year target price in our app is 79. There's no guarantees going forward, of course, but that's how our app has it, you know, ranked and targets. So
yeah, and with the dividend
cap,
yields 2.18. We've got a, like you said, target price of $79 and, earnings per share, next estimate earnings per share is $4. I mean, so, you know, if you're in terms of your forward PE ratio, I mean, it's under 10. So,
actually more of a mid cap, I should say.
Yeah, but those are, I think that's just a great example of, some stocks that are just now kind of coming up, you know, kind of that cream coming to the top. And, I kind of agree with Bernstein's note in terms of, you know, value and momentum kind of moving together now. So it'll be certainly be interesting to see, you know, kind of how this continues to play out. We'll have our eyes on it. You can have your eyes on it with our Best Stocks Now newsletter. You can go to GundersonCapital.com, sign up for that. If you need anything, certainly welcome to give us a ring.
855-611-BEST.
All right.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
Have a great weekend, everyone. Good luck with your brackets.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.